Welcome to the Larry Kreider's Leadership Podcast. Larry is the author of over 40 books, the founder of Dove International, a worldwide family of churches and ministries in six continents, and has over 50 years of leadership experience. He and his guests will share inspirational leadership insights from their journey with God. These insights, gleaned from serving leaders in many nations, will transform your life and leadership. For more information on Larry's books and resources, visit LarryKreider.com.
Welcome to the Larry Kreider Leadership Podcast. Larry Kreider here. With me in the studio today is Megan Barnett. Welcome, Megan.
Thanks, Larry. I'm so excited to be here.
Well, I was looking forward to this so much, and knowing you and your amazing husband, David, for all these years. In fact, I met you through him, really.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I love interviewing on leadership, especially women of God who have a call to leadership. So I'm so thankful that you're here today. So thank you for joining me.
Yeah, of course. Thank you for having me.
All right. Let's get right into it. Let's talk about leadership. Let's talk about some of your roles in leadership, past, present, maybe future. I don't know. That's up to you. Go ahead and talk to us about what you've learned about leadership and some of your roles.
Sure. Yeah. Well, the future, we'll leave that up to the Lord. But okay. as for the past, yeah. So my first role in leadership was actually at the age of 13 when I was in sixth grade. For a reason that, looking back now, I have no idea why. Yeah. My church put me in charge of our 2 and 3 year old Sunday school class. So I was a 13-year-old alone with 8 2- and 3-year-olds teaching them the Word of God. And it really just sparked for me a love of mentoring those who are younger than me in the faith and younger than me in age, and just being that, like, that love of spiritual motherhood even from such an early age.
That is awesome.
Yeah.
So back in there, in those days, you lived in Ohio, is that right?
Okay. Yeah. I grew up in the Akron Canton area in Ohio. Yeah. Okay. And so then from there, I really just developed a passion for leadership within my local church.
Yeah.
When I went to college, I went to Messiah University and studied Christian ministry and got with an emphasis in youth ministry. And so while I was there, I interned at a church in their youth ministry and was leading their junior high ministry.
Yeah.
And then after graduation, I got a job at a church in York, Pennsylvania, as an associate pastor there.
How old were you when you were associate pastor?
22 years old.
That's amazing.
Yeah, and then I was there for 10 years, and it was really wonderful. The church, the congregation, just gave me so much space to grow into my leadership giftings.
Sure.
And I started out as the youth and young adult pastor, and then throughout my time there, just kind of added hats to what I was doing. And they just kept saying, "Hey, have you tried this before? You should try it." And I would step into it, and then the Lord would show me how much I loved it. So
that's amazing.
Yeah,
continue on the journey. What else? What other areas of leadership have you been involved in?
Yeah, so I was at the church for 10 years, and then now I work at an organization called Hope International.
Tell us about Hope.
I love Hope. Hope is a Christian nonprofit that invests in the dreams of the most of the world's underserved families by Christ-centered microfinance. Mm-hmm. So our goal is helping people start small businesses so that they can provide for themselves, and then all the while making sure that every financial product we have has a pathway to the gospel. It's a really great organization.
Tell us a bit more, because a lot of our listeners from around the world would not be familiar with Hope.
Yeah,
of course,
absolutely.
I am. I love Hope, and I love what you're doing, and you know, I love Peter and everybody involved there. Tell us a bit more about what that looks like.
Yeah. So we have two models that we use in our ministry. Mm-hmm. One is the microfinance institution model. So that looks like basically like a regular bank. So you think about, you go to the bank, you get loans there, you have a safe place to save your money. So for populations around the world that don't have access to typical banking, that wouldn't qualify for a loan at a normal banking institution. This is a place where they can have a safe place to save and to have someone invest in their business. And then our other model is called the savings group model. And this one functions very much like a small group or a life group. Mm-hmm. So it's run through the local church. We train the local church leaders on how to run this model, and then they do it all themselves. And people in the savings group will show up every week or every other week and come together and save a certain amount of money that they've agreed upon. So let's say it's $2 every other week. And as they meet together, they are studying the word together, they are worshiping, and they are saving. And then as their cumulative pot grows, they can start lending out to members of the group. And so everyone benefits, because if you want to start a tailoring business, I can lend you money, or we can lend you money to buy that sewing machine.
Right.
And then as you make money from your business, you pay back the group with interest. So everyone's money grows. And we have just heard incredible stories of life transformation, of generational transformation. Kids going to college that, their family, their parents never even finished high school because they were part of either a savings group or one of these microfinance institutions that, that they were able to invest in the dreams of their own family.
Now, this is a global ministry, right?
Yes.
Is it happening in the USA also?
We do not operate in the US, actually.
Okay. So what are some of the parts of the world that you're involved in?
Yeah. So we're in 27 different countries.
Wow.
A lot of countries in Africa and South America and Asia, and then some in Eastern Europe as well.
Wow. So what is your current role then? What do you do?
Yeah. My current title is Spiritual Formation Manager, which is a title that doesn't mean much. Those words don't make a lot of sense. But basically, I sort of act as a type of staff chaplain.
Okay.
I help oversee all of the spiritual formation rhythms that our staff experiences. So we have prayer 3 times a week, devos once a week, prayer day, like an entire day each quarter, all these different rhythms that we have. And I'm sort of overseeing and facilitating them and helping other people lead as well.
Now, does this include travel? Do you go to some of these nations?
Every so often, yeah. I just got back from a trip to Zimbabwe, which was really great. And I got to see a savings group in action, which was so powerful, getting to hear from – it was an all-women savings group, getting to hear from these women the ways that they are able to just change the trajectory of their family's life.
Okay, in a few minutes, I'm going to ask you more about what you've learned about leadership, but any other areas of leadership that you are involved in, were involved in, you want to share with us that kind of sets the stage for that?
Yeah. So my husband is a pastor at Newport Church, which is part of the Dove Network. And because he's on staff, I also get to participate in a lot of things there too. And so he and I lead a few different ministries together. And then I love preaching, so I get to do that on occasion. And then I'm also on the leadership team for a women's ministry called Blaze Ministry.
So talk to me about your leadership journey. Just, you know, anything else you want to share about your journey, and then I'm going to ask you some specific questions about things you've learned, okay?
Yeah. I think that to start out, I really wasn't interested in stepping into leadership at all.
Okay.
I was a really energetic kid. I had a ton of energy, was very hyperactive. And so I was often told that I was a lot. And I probably was a lot. because I was often receiving these messages that I was a lot, I took that on as I'm too much.
Okay.
And so I really wanted to make myself less.
What do you mean you made too much?
Like people, the message that I had told myself, the lies that I was believing was that no one wanted to hear from me, that my voice wasn't needed.
Okay.
And so as the Lord was calling me into leadership, it was really very much of a Moses moment where I was like, send anyone but me.
Okay.
And the Lord is gracious and patient. Yeah. And so he took the long route and was willing to just continually come after me and continually call me and put those passions in me. And I am so grateful that he did.
So grateful. Now, how about as a woman in leadership? Talk to us about that. Has that been, you find that there are hurdles that you got to cross? I mean, I love seeing women of God using leadership. That's a passion that I have. Talk to us about your journey on that, if you would, please.
It has been difficult at times. Sure. And that's even, I have been blessed to be surrounded by people who are very encouraging mm-hmm. of my gifts and are very encouraging of my my leadership abilities.
Sure.
But still, there are hurdles that just men just don't experience. I think as women, we're expected to know how to do things right away. We're okay. expected to be perfect the first yeah. time, and there's not that same learning opportunity that men often have. And I also have had, while I've had a lot of voices speaking really encouraging messages mm-hmm. over me, I've also had a fair amount of voices mm-hmm. Speaking the opposite. In fact, I had one gentleman, I was 19 years old, and he told me that I was helping the enemy destroy the church from the inside out.
Oh my.
Just by being who I was. And when you have all those voices telling you, either internally or externally, telling you that your voice isn't needed or wanted, it is really easy to listen to those lies instead. And so I am just so grateful to the Lord for all of those other voices that were mm-hmm. able to come alongside and speak truth over mm-hmm. me. And I think that's part of why it took me so long to desire any kind of leadership mm-hmm. responsibility.
I'm so sorry. So sorry that you had to go through that. You know, as a man of God, I mean, our heart is to see women release, and it's painful for me to hear that. So, so sorry. But praise God, you pressed through.
Yeah.
And you didn't quit.
Yeah.
And you continue to move ahead. So let's talk about some things you learned about leadership. Now, let's talk about some of the lessons that you learned. Again, people around the world are listening to this, 170 nations plus. And, you know, of course, you understand the nations because of your present work right now, especially. But what are some lessons that you've learned that could be a blessing to others?
I think one lesson that I've learned specifically as a woman in ministry, though I think hopefully it applies to everyone in leadership, but is to not compare myself to the people that I see around me. It is okay that the Lord has made me, and that is a good thing.
Right.
I remember the first time that I preached, I was doing it for a seminary class, and so I had to get like a group of four or five people to mm-hmm. give me feedback. And so they were doing that. And one of the pieces of feedback that I got was that I should speak in a lower register because it's people receive messages better in a lower register.
Really?
Yeah. And that was like, I don't know what to do with that. I can't change my voice.
Really?
But in a more serious way, there have been a lot of times where I have looked at the leadership around me, and particularly the way that men tend to lead, is just very different mm-hmm. from how women lead. And so it's easy to try and want to fit yourself into that hole.
Could you give me some examples?
Yeah. So I think women tend to lead with a much more, with a much more like motherly heart. So there's going to be a lot more, patience mm-hmm. and, care in the mm-hmm. way that we talk to the people that we're leading or the people that are under our care. And sometimes that can be looked at as a detriment. It's, oh, you're moving too slow, or you're like, you need to take authority mm-hmm. and command the people mm-hmm. under you. And there absolutely is a place for that. And there's time for that. And we need people who are setting direction in that kind of way.
Sure.
But then we also need people who have that mother's heart, and mothers still absolutely lead and set direction and set vision. It just looks different. And so for me, learning that the way that I lead mm-hmm. is needed, the voice mm-hmm. that I have is needed, really made a difference. Yeah. Charles Finney has this quote that says, "The church that silences women is shorn of half its power." And
that is such an amazing quote.
Yeah.
I love it.
Yeah. So I want to make sure that that Christ's bride has mm-hmm. all of its power.
Amen. I mean, you're an exceptional speaker. Do you have any insights on how you do that so well? You know, and many people have told me, have you heard Megan Burnett speak? And, of course, I heard you speak, and I'm really blessed by the gift God's given you. And how did you learn to do that? You know, I mean, some of it's just your gift and who you are. I get that. But is there any point you'd have that would help others in that whole realm?
Yeah, so I think one thing that I was taught at a pretty early age in a teaching setting mm-hmm. was to make sure that you take people with you. So don't assume that they okay. know what you're talking about. Don't good. Assume that they understand any previous context. You want to make sure you.
So good.
It's better to overstate than assume that they know where you are. So yeah, just make sure you take people with you.
That is so good. All right, you talk sometimes about the oxygen mask illustration.
Yeah.
Explain that.
Yeah. So I really have noticed and learned in my own life the importance of being filled before you can fill others. And so you have the oxygen mask analogy of on an airplane, they tell you if you're a parent traveling with young children, put your own oxygen mask on first before you assist your child. And I think there's so much wisdom in that because mm-hmm. I have served in times when I have been really filled, and I have served in times when I have been pouring out everything and right. not taking care of myself. And it matters that I am spending time with the Lord. It matters yeah. that I am taking care so of myself and that I am healthy mm-hmm. in order to, if I can be of any service to sure. the people that I lead.
How do you handle negative feedback?
Ooh.
We all get it.
We all get it.
If you're
yeah.
in leadership, whether you're speaking or just in leadership, you're going to get it.
Yeah.
So how do you handle that?
Probably not as well as I would like, but I think one thing that is important for me is learning to hear those voices, genuinely evaluate, is there truth to this? Like bring yeah. it before the Lord and say, God, is mm-hmm. there something you want me to learn from this?
Yep.
But not letting that be the only voice that you hear. Because yeah. there have been times where even maybe on a Sunday morning, I've preached a sermon and I've had, you know, so many people come up to me and be like, Megan, that was just what I needed to hear. That was so great. And then I have one person come up and say one thing, and that's the thing that I remember.
Yeah.
And that's
right.
not who I want to be. And also, right. So I've just been learning really to listen to the cheerleaders just as much, if not more, than I listen to the critics, because I think
that
both voices
good.
Are important.
Say that again.
Listen,
that's for somebody.
Yeah. It's important to listen to the cheerleaders mm-hmm. just as much, if not more, than you listen to your critics.
So good. And I know for you, you've always said prayer is vital in all this. Talk mm-hmm. about that.
Yeah. So when I was starting out at the church that I worked at, I had gotten my bachelor's degree in ministry, mm-hmm. and I was getting my seminary degree in theology and ministry, my master's degree, and I was doing all the things that I had learned to do in ministry classes, and checking off the lists and saying, like, this is how you are relational with the people that
sure.
you're leading, and all of the good, important things that we do to have a thriving ministry. And then one day I went back to the church that I'd interned at in college and just spent time sitting with some of the youth who had graduated from that youth program and who had been there while I was there, and hearing from them and hearing just the depth of their faith mm-hmm. and the ways that they were impacted from this ministry and this youth pastor that I served under. And I remember on the drive home that night thinking, I don't understand what is happening, because the youth pastor at that program, like, didn't do a lot of the things that I had learned about in classes. He didn't do a lot of the relational pieces that I knew were important on paper, and the things that I was doing. And I looked at the fruit of my own ministry versus the fruit of his, and his was so much more thriving.
Sure.
And not in a trying to compare
right,
ministries
right.
kind of way, but in a
understand.
Like I want to be of service in the way that he is. Yeah. And so I asked myself, like, what's the difference? What's the missing piece? And the Holy Spirit just whispered to me, it's prayer. Yeah. Like, I knew that he was a praying man. He was a praying leader. And so when that shifted in my ministry, it didn't even necessarily shift the fruit right away or shift the fruit drastically, but it did shift something, and it shifted something in the unseen realms too.
Wow. Yeah, exactly. A couple more questions I have for you. Mm-hmm. What are some things you wish you would have known when you started?
Yeah. I think one thing that I wish I would have known is just because it's hard doesn't mean that it's not good.
Oh, that's good.
Yeah.
That's so good.
The church that I was serving at we had a leader who was there for a long time who was just a really unhealthy leader. Our senior pastor was going through some of his own things, and it added layers of complication to his leadership. And there were a lot of times that the people around me, the people that were speaking into my life, not from the church, but my own community, my own support system, kept telling me, you need to find another job. Like, you need to work somewhere else. Cause it was so hard. It was so hard trying to support this faith community that was walking through some really hard things. Mm-hmm. And I just like didn't have a peace about that. I just knew that the Holy Spirit was still telling me to stay and to be a voice of truth, a voice of comfort to these people.
Yeah.
And it was really hard, but the fruit that came out of that season and the way that I personally grew was so, so good and so, so important. Mm-hmm. And so now as I'm walking through hard seasons, as we all do, whenever they come up, I just really try to remember that the Lord uses all things for his good. And even if he has orchestrated them or hasn't, it doesn't matter. No matter what you're walking through, he is good and he is faithful.
So good. Two more questions for you. And the next question I have for you is, have you ever made any mistakes? You're laughing.
No, never. Of course
never,
not. I think my husband David would have other things
I'm
to
sure.
say.
Yeah.
Yes, of course I made mistakes.
And you'd like to share with us here?
Yeah, I think one mistake that I've made for sure is kind of as I shared earlier, letting other voices be the voice that I listen to instead of the voice of the Holy Spirit. And anytime we do that, that is going to lead us in the wrong direction. We are his sheep, and we hear his voice, and his is the voice we should follow.
Right.
And then kind of in line with that, anytime that I have thought that I could do it on my own, that I didn't need him. And sometimes that was in seasons where it was hard, and so I was just trying to like muscle through, let me just try and control this. And other times in seasons that things were really abundant and good, and thinking, I'm doing great. It's okay if I neglect quiet time today, or it's okay if I, you know, don't seek him on this one thing, because we're doing fine.
Sure.
So, yeah, anytime that I think I can do it on my own, I'm wrong.
Yep. Amen. Yeah, so true. Last question I have for you. Is there anything else you'd like our listeners to know about leadership that you've learned?
Yeah, I really just want to speak to any of the women listening. I am so passionate about the importance of women in leadership and just the need for it. I just want to speak to anyone, any of the women listening, and let you know that your voice is needed.
Yes.
It matters that you tell your story. It matters that you share the passions and the gifts that the Lord has placed on your heart, because we need the whole body to do what the Lord is calling them to do what the Lord has equipped them to do. And so, and I also just want to say thank you to the men who are supportive of that and who encourage and spur on the women in their life. I know I'm super grateful for many, but specifically David, my husband, in the ways that he not just says like, yeah, do what you got to do, but he is my biggest cheerleader and is pushing me into things sometimes that I don't feel like I'm ready for, but he sees those gifts. And so he calls them out in me. So if there's a woman in your life, no matter who that woman is, that's if good. You see gifts in her, call them out and push her into doing the things that the Lord has placed on her heart.
Megan, you are a great inspiration. In fact, what I'd like to do in the show notes, and just like all those who are listening and check out the show notes, learn more about Megan, ways to get a hold of her. And if you, and I didn't ask you for permission to do this. Hopefully this is okay, Megan. But if they would like someone like you to speak, it's something they can get a hold of you. And also, I think we're going to put on the show notes. We're going to put on the show notes a few examples of times when you have spoken. I know I've listened to some of your messages. It's powerful, very, very powerful. I think it'd be really encouraging to a lot of people. So thank you, Megan, for being Larry. On the podcast.
So good. I loved it.
Well, and praise God for there's a fresh generation of women of God that God's raising up in these days we live in.
Yes, and amen.
And I'll be leading the way. And I say thank you for the way you have served, are serving, and will serve in the future.
Thank you so much.
So, everybody, thank you for joining the Larry Carter Leadership Podcast today. Again, check out the show notes. You can find out more about Megan and some of the highlights from our talk here today. And the Larry Carter Leadership Podcast, we just believe that if we can find one small area we can change in our lives, and just one area, and the Holy Spirit leads us to change, we can see major changes exponentially, not only in our lives, but the lives of those we serve. So Megan Burnett, thank you. God bless you. And it was so good to have you here on the podcast. And thank you to everyone listening around the world. God bless you. And we'll see you again real soon.
Thank you for listening to Larry Crider's Leadership Podcast. If you want more information about any of Larry's books, daily devotionals, small group resources, or any other teachings, go to LarryCrider.com.